Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerds Domain Podcast. I am Matt, and this week we are going to be talking with a couple of guys here local that are making a game app program thing. It's Chip and Jim. They're really great guys, but they're all about gaming, and we're going to talk to them about that. They are kickstarting Knights of Yore right now. So, hey, Chip, Jim, how you guys doing?
All right.
Awesome.
Oh, I actually unmuted your mics this time. I'm doing fantastic. Woo-hoo. On this one.
One step ahead.
tell us a little about you guys as gamers. Like, where did you start? What age? Where'd you come from?
I've played video games forever, literally forever.
Okay.
I got a Nintendo when I was like 4, so as soon as I could hold a controller, I was playing.
Right on. Okay. So lots of video games. Did you do a lot of tabletop gaming as well, or?
I played once, and then my DM also happened to be my best friend, and I kind of destroyed his world. Or both of them.
Okay. Okay. So,
wait, fair in enough. The game or
yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. What about you, Jim? Where'd you get your start?
My history's a lot less dark. No, I also got a Nintendo when I was like, you know, very small. I don't remember exactly what age, but I do remember the quintessential question was to my mom, "How much money do you make in a month?" With her response, I said, "You can buy me like 10 Nintendos in a month, so just give me one."
Wow.
I was also really quick with math at a young age.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo, always played my friend's Super Nintendos because we didn't money at that point. But I did get to enjoy Sega, which was debatably a better decision. I don't think so, but Super Nintendo definitely
was. It's an equatable decision.
Yeah. Anyway,
we can debate that in a minute because I have thoughts. But no, yeah.
It's but PlayStation era is when I finally had my moment to shine.
Okay,
and luckily got in at the buzzer on the classic RPGs and things like
that. Good.
Really, really stuck with the video games for a long time, and mostly because I lived out kind of in the country, so didn't have the access to D&D with like lots of friends that I could gather to play.
Okay.
Always wanted to, didn't get to until like my 20s when I was like living in apartments with friends and stuff, and finally got an opportunity to do that. But yeah, so then I got into like tabletop games,
right on.
Card games, stuff like that, Magic. And I'm the kind of person where as soon as I've learned something good enough, I tend to move on to the next thing and learn the next one. So I've never really dug my claws into anything except for D&D. I did have a really massive 2.5-year campaign that was amazing.
Right on.
So that's actually what inspired me doing Knights of Yore.
Excellent. Excellent. So, wow, lots of tabletop, but a little bit later. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So what kind of games, what video games, like top three of all the video games you've played? What are we looking
of,
at?
Of all
of
them.
All of them. Ooh. It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. They're like my children.
Well, I mean, like, and like, I'm a huge fan of the Mario Kart series, mostly because I'm okay at it, so I can actually beat other people. That's key. Because I really like Smash Brothers, but I'm not good at it. I can beat my son, so you know he's 12.
So that fills my life with joy.
But like, I like to play games where I can at least compete. And like, first person shooters, I can't compete to save my life. Like, there's no way. But at least with like Mario Kart, I can do well and keep myself up there. So that's where I kind of sit, is at least Mario Kart would be one of my top three, and they're all, honestly, they're all the same. They changed a little bit here and there, but they're all the same.
Yeah.
So what about you guys? What do you? I was trying to give you a little bit of time to think. So
One of my first favorites is Wizards and Warriors.
Okay.
From the old NES.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
The first game I ever beat. I was like 8 years old, and I was like, yeah, you all suck. I beat it all.
Right on.
And then I like the Elder Scrolls series a lot.
Okay.
I can't Skyrim.
Say, yeah, I can't say I've ever played any Elder Scrolls. I played a lot of Fallout, and I hear it's similar in some ways. So,
yeah.
Right on. Right
and
on.
Then, I don't really have a third that I can think
all
of.
The rest.
I just like playing. Yeah, yeah. All the rest.
Right on.
Good answer.
What about you, Jim?
Yeah. Growing up, Final Fantasy was my go-to.
Okay.
On everything. I still love Final Fantasy, but I'm a little disappointed with where it's gone over the last
pretty much everyone
decade.
Since 10.
Really? You guys didn't like 12?
I actually did like 12 a lot.
Oh, Jim doesn't think so.
I don't think it should have been called.
That's another podcast.
it's like fourth edition. That's like fourth edition D&D. Like it is right. A perfectly fine game all yep. by itself, but it is not really. It doesn't fit with the
is
rest
it?
Of D&D.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love Final Fantasy XII mostly because I hated the mechanic of look, a fight. We're gonna stop everything for a few seconds. We're gonna go into the fight and you're gonna fight and then we're gonna finish everything up and we're gonna stop everything for a few seconds. Like that's irritating.
See to me like. That's Final Fantasy, though.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, and yeah. So when 12 came along and they were like, you don't have to do that, I was like, I am in 1,000%.
Right.
That's actually the only Final Fantasy game I played more than a couple hours on, and I beat that one.
Yes.
I went all the way through and beat everything and then went back and played it again. So
I like the mechanics in it, too, because it's like, it's I personally thought it was really a really good mashup between real time and turn based.
Well, and there's there's a programmer mindset in it too. When you set up your gambits,
there is.
You really have to layer your stuff just right, or everything is going to go to crap. So right.
Yeah, I loved coming up with different algorithms for all those.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I get where you're coming from. It's not it's not necessarily Final Fantasy.
That's one thing I've always appreciated about Final Fantasy is that they kind of graduate the system every game, and come up with newer, better ways of, doing their play on the ATB, which is really cool. But to me, like, Final Fantasy is not Final Fantasy unless it's turn-based, which that still was.
Yeah.
In its own way.
In its own, kind of weird way, yeah.
I'm as excited as I am about Final Fantasy 15, I am also saddened about the fact that it's pretty much become an action game.
Well,
I mean, and again, like, I've gotten so much heat online from talking to people in general about that, but it's like...
Well, I think that's a product of what companies see are doing well. I mean, for all the criticism World of Warcraft has, like, they still have millions of subscribers.
Millions.
Absolutely. They have servers that are too full. Like,
yes.
I played City of Heroes for a long time. Loved that game. I'm so sad it's gone. But, like, their servers were never full. Like, we have a medium load today, guys. It's going to be a little rough. And I'm like, no, that's not... I can't log into WoW because I can't get on my server. Like...
Yeah.
It's a very different like way that we look at things now. And that I think,
yeah. Well, I'm old. And, I'm just mad because it's not what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, so, and it is also
it's not the same game. And get off
we're
my lawn,
boy. We had to wait 15 minutes to finish a battle. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, and that's no, I can understand that. It's a very WoW has had a very weird effect on gaming in general.
Yeah.
I was talking to some friends of mine the other day. We LARP.
Yeah, okay.
So nice. The LARP scene in Indianapolis was huge until about 2004.
Oh, when WoW came out. Until 2004.
And then we went from like 100 to 150 people games to like 50 people games to like 30 people games. And then part of that is people grew up and got real jobs and got real lives and kids and such.
Right.
But the reality is like WoW dropped and people went, well, we should go do this instead and quit coming to game. And it caused a huge rift there, a huge thing there. Fourth edition, a lot of people argue that it's been influenced heavily by WoW. And I can't say that I can disagree with them. I don't have a problem with that system, though.
Right.
So that one worked well for me. I like playing multiplayer chess all at the same time. Then that's what 4th edition is, and it works well for me, but it doesn't work for everybody, and that's okay. That's
right.
I'm fine with that. When you look at that influence, it's very heavy, and that's what's happening with Final Fantasy, is they look at all these MMOs that people are like, what's your option?
I think my ultimate thing with the whole Final Fantasy thing at the end of the day was that back in the 90s, Square was very experimental. And did a lot of other games, like they had racing games and, dungeon crawl games and stuff like that. And I guess in my mind, I would have rather seen Final Fantasy stay Final Fantasy and then make either Final Fantasy weird offshoots that became action games.
Yeah.
Like Dirge of Cerberus, like the shooter game with Vincent and all that. Like, that was awesome. Yeah. Like, do a different style game, but with the same characters
and Final
and
Fantasy
stuff.
Tactics is very different.
Tactics, oh my God.
But
that's
still,
like, that's
Final
one
Fantasy,
of my favorite games
unquote,
of all time.
But, I mean, it's still... Final Fantasy, but
it's in the
its
world.
Own mechanic system that's very different.
Yeah,
so.
I was always okay with that, and I fell in love with a lot of those games. And I'm sure that I'll love Final Fantasy 15 for what it is. I just I never thought Final Fantasy Online games should have been numbered games. I always thought they should have just been Final Fantasy Online.
Yeah,
whatever.
Well, Final Fantasy is weird, and it's also weird here in the United States because we got them in whatever order they decided to give them those.
Yeah. They've been mangled by the time we get to play them. But, you know, it's we're used to it, so whatever.
yeah, it's fair.
But, yeah, going back to the original favorite games of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII changed my life. I literally quit a job and broke up with a girlfriend for it.
Oh, there you go.
I just pretty much gave up.
My neighbor's house for that.
Yeah. I pretty much gave up on everything when that game came out, except school. I went ahead and kept doing school.
It's all that chocobo racing, right?
That's exactly. So that game changed my life. Final Fantasy IV is like always close to my heart. It was just like my weekend warrior. You know, like I could start that game on Friday and be done before I had to go back to school on Monday. So that was awesome. It sounds weird coming out of the voice of a 34-year-old.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever. I still do that.
Yeah.
And then Tactics was, again, another love of mine that got me into that realm of gameplay and everything. And really Tactics and 4th edition, like, so many correlations there.
Yeah.
And actually, I would have loved to see Wizards come out with a D&D 4th edition that was basically like...
They did. On Facebook, right? Yeah, it was...
And by the time I found out about it, it didn't exist anymore.
It was it was weirdly good, but too slow in its progression.
Sure.
And, like, you saw none of the mechanics. I mean, they just were like, you have these powers. You can use this one once per fight. You can use this one once per dungeon.
I'll show you how it is actually working.
That's cool, because you still got to, like, chess your way through the game, but at the same time, like, they shut it down. Like, they gave up on it. We talked about that here just a minute ago off mic. Wizards of the Coast has a bad tendency to just be like, you know, we're going to go ahead and shut this down. It's not working out. I'm like, don't break up with me like that. Let's find a way to make this work.
Over a pizza or something?
I would love to see them just leave those things out there in the ether and maybe even just be like, all right, guys, we're going to leave this here and we're going to go ahead and make it open source and you guys can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
But we're done with it and we're not going to support it anymore.
Yeah.
I would love to see a company just do that with their products and let it go crazy and just let people have fun with it.
Well, and the thing is, I met the people that work at Wizards, and it's not like they're bad people. Mm-hmm. It's like they're told, okay, we're going to make a new edition. They're like, okay, well, how do we make this the best edition possible? And they just do what they have to do to put out good product. And 5th edition, arguably, very good.
Right.
I think it's probably the best version of a lot of role-playing games. Like, it fits a lot of things. The turnaround, though, is there's not a lot of support from the other side. Like, we've got books coming out, and those are all great, and the stories are solid, and the art is beautiful, and the maps are fantastic. The Curse of Strahd, I don't know if you guys picked up any of that.
I've seen it. I haven't picked it up.
The maps in Curse of Strahd are phenomenal. Yeah. Just above and beyond anything I would want.
Do you have that guy's number?
I wish I did, but I'm sure that... I'm sure that we can find some people to do some art. I know some people.
We need that.
But the book itself is just a rewrite of the original module, but with modern sensibilities and like extra side quests so that they have time. And they're like, hey, when this goes bad, because it will, here's how you fit new players in. Because you're fighting Strahd. This is going to go badly. Okay. Hey, thanks for warning me ahead of time, because not everybody's going to get that.
Right.
So like... 5th edition has been very solid in a lot of ways, and then other ways it's not. And it's the same thing with, like, that's why Pathfinder came out. A lot of ways, Wizards went, hey, we're going to make these decisions that not everybody's going to agree with. And Pathfinder went, well, we're going to stick with the thing we know.
Right.
And we're just going to throw crap at the wall and see what sticks. And honestly, it's been a good... it's been a good marketing plan for them. Like,
yeah.
All right, guys, I heard that you guys like pirates, so we're going to do pirates.
Right.
And we're going to seriously do pirates, like, for a whole 6 months. And people were like, I love pirates. This is awesome. Okay, you like ninjas now? Okay, now we're going to do ninjas for
ninjas
6 months.
It is.
And, like, that's... I mean, Pathfinder's like, what do you guys like? Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I mean, fan service can make money sometimes.
It actually does really well. I've recently... I wasn't as huge into D&D growing up, like I said. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to do it until like my 20s, and even then it was spotty at best until the last few years. I finally had a good group of friends that I could get together with on a regular basis. But after the 4th edition debacle of deleting the forums and getting rid of my character builder and all that, I was a little sore towards Wizards, so I decided to explore Pathfinder because I was like, oh, wow, they're still on version 1.0 of Pathfinder. And I was like, that's really cool that they've just decided to stick with this and make it work and come out with patches and updates and all this fun stuff along the way. So that's something I've been diving into and exploring. Actually, at Gen Con, I got to play like a 10-hour game.
Oh, wow.
Where it was like four DMs, co-op running the game with three different tables, doing like a Storm the Castle type event.
We played in a couple of those for 4th edition. They had these awesome big mega adventures where everybody in the room was playing the same adventure. It was just scaled for the level groups you were in.
Okay.
And it was very time intensive. Like, yeah, you had this much time to get through this encounter.
Ours
or
too.
Or it went badly.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting concept, and it was really a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The first time. The second time, it was a smaller group. We were running this at HoosierCon here in Indy.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah.
The second time, it was a smaller group. There were less tables. It was run a little differently, and it just wasn't as much fun. But I think, I don't know if it was the people at the table, because we weren't playing with people we knew at that time.
Right.
Or it, what happened, but still, like, it's that co-optive, like, everybody's doing this thing to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Together. It was a lot of fun, and it was a... That was like an 8-hour day. Yeah, that was a long. That was, and that was a. You have an hour for this combat. Go.
Right.
Well, this is 4th edition. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all.
1 hour.
Well, and we were relatively low level, so 1 hour, that was okay. But
right,
like, they had like 15th level characters, and they're like, 1 hour, go, and they're like, no, I have to chain like 17 effects. That's going to take at least 20 minutes. I can't do this. Like, it was really interesting.
Use your dailies.
Yeah. But yeah, we got to see a lot of that, and that was a lot of fun. I like what the Pathfinder stuff does, because it keeps a system alive that I'm not necessarily a huge fan of. What was 3.5 and now is Pathfinder. There are too many things for players to really tweak and get into and make it just unplayable sometimes. But it's a solid system.
Right.
The turnaround is we played a quote-unquote third edition game called Nascrag. Have you ever guys played Nascrag?
No.
Okay, so they hand you a blank character sheet, as in, like, it's a piece of paper with nothing on it. There's not even, like, here's your race and anything. And they're like, you are a kobold. Okay. So there are six people around the table. It's primarily a puzzle game, so your stats mean almost nothing. And my wife and I played the sexy kobold twins. One of us, and we wouldn't tell you which one, had been dating the bugbear at the table. And so we would both flirt because the bugbear didn't know which one. And it was weird, but it was like there was no mechanics there. It was, here's the puzzle. Figure it out. You don't have a character sheet. Don't worry about it. And as we would complete puzzles, we would... Our amnesia, quote unquote, would go away, and we would get quarters of our character sheet front and back, which was cool.
Yeah.
But like, then we would start learning stuff, and I'd be like, oh, we should probably stop hitting on the bugbear we broke up with them. Like, this is awkward. And then the bugbear went, oh yeah, I see what you like. Thanks for breaking up with me. And we're like, what are you talking about? So like, it was a really solid experience with no mechanics that meant anything. Like, we were like 15th level rogues or whatever, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter what was on our sheet, because what was important was the gameplay and the puzzle solving. And I'm not the greatest at puzzles. It's not my favorite thing, but we still had a blast, and it was a lot of fun. And they actually have a tournament every year at Gen Con, and the best of each seat of the tables goes on to the last adventure, and if you can beat it, you win, and so on and so forth. But it's a lot of fun.
Like a tournament.
Yeah, it's a very, very much a lot of fun, and surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And we ran into that one because we were like, oh, it's like 7. We should get going and go home because we got a long day tomorrow. We're going to sleep. And we're walking by, and these guys are like, you guys want to play some NASCRAG? And we're like,
yeah.
What's NASCRAG? And he's like, oh, it's great. You'll love it. I don't know. He's like,
I just watch it for the wrecks.
Yeah. And he's like, it's only going to be 2 generic tickets. And I'm like, wow. Am I being sold drugs?
First one's on us.
But it ended up being a fantastic game, and we had a lot of fun with it. There was a point where I had to get up and dance and sing.
Nice.
Like, that was a mechanic in the game. If we didn't do it, the ritual wouldn't go off. So it was a lot of fun.
That's what it's all about, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly what made me so addicted to going to Gen Con and stuff like that every year. It's just that those random games that you play that you never planned for that end up being, like, amazing. And it's just like, why isn't everybody doing this?
So was this your guys' first Gen Con?
No. I've been going for 4 years in a row now.
Okay.
So
it was my very first one.
A little overwhelming, wasn't it?
Yeah. I kind of expected it.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
I prepared him. Like,
the first one I went to...
I'd been downtown while it was going on, but I'd never been actually inside.
Okay. Yeah, when we first came here, it was a much smaller con. Much smaller, like... Mm. a half or a third of the size. And I looked at it last year, and I was just blown away by how much space it was in, because we didn't used to have the new convention center.
Right.
We weren't in Lucas Oil until this year. Like, we were spread out over a couple of hotels, not like we are this year, this year or last year. And I was just like, I don't know. There's a lot. And there really
too
is.
Too much.
Like, there's so much. There's so much that, like, literally, if you go in and you're like, I want to be an aspiring writer, you can go to the Writer Symposium from like 10 to 8 every day and never play a game.
Yeah.
And that's what you can do with your time. And I mean, to me, that doesn't sound like something I would want to do, but that there's an option for that. You can just go to panels all day. We actually held a couple panels and they were well attended and people were happy with those. And that's awesome. Like, lots of panels and lots of games. And I just can't imagine doing much. I remember the first few years I ran D&D stuff, 'cause that's how I got my badge. But after that, like, we've always like looked around to what to do, and we play a lot of demos.
The exhibit hall is awesome with how many demos you can play now.
So
you can just buy a pass and go and play demos all day, which is amazing.
Yeah, we played a couple, and I couldn't tell you what they are. I have no idea what demos we played.
Dig through the cards later.
Yeah. last year we played Looking for Group, had some sort of RPG game out, but they're like, well, we can't really demo this. There's not a good way to demo that. So they turned it into some sort of like Smash Brothers Mario Party thing where you were just fighting each other. And it was completely unbalanced for that because they hadn't planned on that happening. But they're like, whatever. Everybody's having fun.
You're getting schooled. Who cares?
So, yeah. They're like, as long as everybody's having fun, that's all that matters. But we got to play that. We played a couple other games last year that were a lot of fun. We played Sushi Go this year, which was a drafting game.
I heard about that one, but I haven't had a chance to check it out.
I didn't get to check it out either.
You draft pieces of sushi or sushi-like things, sushi-associated things, and you score points at the end of the round according to what you've drafted. So if you get, like, tempura, that's great. If you get one tempura, it's worth X amount of points. If you get two tempura, it's worth more points. If you get three tempura, they're all worth zero. Which is great until you have nothing but tempura and you already have two tempura down, and you're like, well, yes, I just screwed myself. So, like, it's this weird, like, you have to balance everything and you have to plan ahead because all the fruit is only scored at the end of the game. But you have to draft it. It was a lot of fun. And Sushi Go only had certain, like, a set cards in it. They put out Sushi Go Deluxe this year, and it had different, you could swap them in and out. Awesome. So that was kind of cool. Sushi Go was a lot of fun. We learned quite a bit there and kind of taught ourselves the game as we played. And it was pretty cool.
Very cool. I got to play a couple of demos while I was in the exhibit hall this year. There was Dragoon, which was like right down the road from us. Those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
Their game's really cool. They actually comped us one so we could check it out and spread the word here in Indy.
Right on. Yeah, that's but, awesome.
Yeah, you get these, the pieces for that game are made out of like, they're like zinc or something that's been like plated with actually gold and silver and copper and black nickel. So you have all these different colored dragons.
Yeah, because I saw it and I walked past it and I was like, oh, there's a lot of people. We'll come back. And every time
it was always
a lot of people. And I was like, well, I guess I'll find out about it later.
Yeah, that game's awesome. And it's just a really basic, easy concept, too. So anybody can jump in. But there's
what kind of game is it?
Basically, each dragon, you place all your dragons on the board and everyone has a cave. And then it's tile based and you have to go out and like, either take over so like towns or villages or destroy them.
Okay.
And then you're basically collecting treasure as you go around.
Cool.
And
so,
you can go to the other dragons' caves and hoard them, but you can't stop in their cave or you get kicked back to your own and lose treasure.
Oh, okay.
It's really cool. But you draw cards, roll dice, move around on the tiles, take over stuff.
Right on.
Really cool.
Well, cool. Yeah, every time we went by there, I was like, I should check this out. Never mind.
Yeah.
they were so busy, so busy.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate for us, but great for them. That's what. We stopped by Bruin USA. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, one? Yeah. They were actually at the end of the row from us, too.
Yeah, and we were like, we should check this out. And, like, their game looked good. And I was like, awesome. I'm like, hey, you know, we'd love to, like, do a review copy of this. And they were like, okay. Not this weekend, though. We're going to sell out. And I'm like, oops, sell out, guys. Go, guys, go. Like, that's Gen Con isn't cheap to defend that.
Yeah, jeez, like, tell me about it.
You got to make sure that you put that get your money back there a little bit too. So like, I can understand where that come from on that. So Chip, I'm going to get this right. Chip, this was your first year at Gen Con. Did you get to demo anything?
Actually, I walked out with a couple of games.
Right on.
Yeah. What was that goat game you were checking out?
Gruff.
Yeah.
I got Gruff right over there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have yet to play it. But
so, same here. I've got a lot to catch up on at home. It's been 3 weeks.
One of the guys that's normally on the podcast, Jesse, he did our request for review copies this year, and I was just like, dude, just find whatever you can. It's not a big deal, because last couple of years we've really pushed it, and then it's been a lot of stress. I'm like, we'll just get whatever. He comes back and he's like, this is Gruff. All right, so this guy found out that he can use billy goats to take over the world, and I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just trust me. And I'm like, okay. And then he found other people that are doing it. So you make your billy goats fight each other. And I'm like, all right, the concept already has me. Like, the mechanics, as long as the mechanics are okay, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, yep, we will play this all the time. So that was kind of cool. We ended up with like two tea games. One that's called 11sies, that's about tea. And the other one's like a Japanese tea ceremony, but there's a game centered around it. I was like, whatever. I mean,
okay.
They're small publishers, and I love small publishers, because like they, like Fantasy
they
Flight,
are really creative.
Well, Fantasy Flight's like, we're going to put out something Cthulhu. It's going to be in a giant box. It's going to be $95, and you're going to pay for that because you'll like it,
right?
And we're like, but I don't know that I'll like it. You will. Okay, I'll just buy it, and then I'm out $95, and it's probably a good game because Fantasy Flight does that. And
yeah,
then after I get done strangling the rules because they're never written well,
right? Right.
That's also Fantasy Flight. But like the turnaround is like, Fantasy Flight does big name games like, oh, it's X-Wing, oh, it's Cthulhu, oh, it's these things, like that's great. But where are the smaller ones, like Star Realms? Have you guys played that?
Mm-mm.
It's a small deck building game. It's $15. Fantastic. Nice. A couple years ago, I got an email and we're like, hey, come check out our game. I'm like, okay, where do I meet you to check out your game? What booth are you in? He's like, well, I'm not really in a booth. First thing you want to do is you're going to go down the hall. I'm like, okay. We ended up right by the Ascension play area.
Okay.
And I played the game, and it's this quick space deck building game, 15 minutes. Mm. That's it. And you're just shooting the crap out of each other, and it ramps super fast, super easy to play, $15. And everything you need is in one oversized box, card box. So this year we went by, and they're like, hey, we put out this new one called Hero Realms. And I'm like, is this just a reskin of Star Realms? And they're like, well, kind of. I was like, okay, that's fine. And they're like, it's a reskin. We tweaked a little things, and we did a few other things different. But you're going to see, like the different factions don't have the same faction abilities. They're going to change. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that, because it's just a reskinning into fantasy out of space.
Yeah.
If it was just that, I'd still pay the $15 and be happy with it and buy it, and I'd be fine with it, because they put out Cthulhu Realms last year, which is just called Cthulhu. I know that our listeners at home are aware, but I have a huge love of Cthulhu. So.
Yeah.
Cthulhu Realms was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And other than
this, it's like open source public domain or whatever.
And other than the sanity tracker, which is your hit points in that, and how you track that, which is kind of iffy because it's a little token that you're going to lose it. Other than that, like, the game is smooth. It's really good. It chains very quickly and ramps very quickly. It's a 15-minute deck builder game.
By the way, you're going to lose it should be the tagline for that game.
You're going to lose it. Yeah.
Cthulhu.
Yeah.
You're going to lose it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like it. But yeah, we got to demo, like, we demoed Hero Realms. It was really, really good. My son got to pick up Pokemon cards because, you know, you're at Gen Con, so why not buy Pokemon cards? Yeah.
Yeah, we got to stare at Pikachu's ass the whole time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, a huge Pikachu in the sky.
Hey, and he's mooning us. Okay.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine was working at Modiphius. I'm like, where are you at? And he's like, well, first you want to go find the giant Pikachu. And I'm like, okay, what? He's like, no, just trust me, find the giant Pikachu. And I'm like, whatever, man. Yeah. And I get to the hall, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm looking for this giant guy in a Pikachu costume. I guess and I'm like, and I look out across, and there's just huge Pikachus hanging from the ceiling. I'm like, oh, so they're that way.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Pikachu is like that cat that wouldn't keep its butt out of your face the whole time for us.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Gen Con was very impressive this year. They expanded the exhibit hall. It was bigger.
Yes.
You guys were in Entrepreneur Alley, right?
Well, no. I mean, we might as well have been. We were over in that corner, but we paid $800 more.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So, we were 2900 aisle, which is like just a little south and west of.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's sort of correct orientation, but yeah, down and left from Entrepreneurs when you're looking at the map. But yeah, huge exhibit hall. So massive this year.
Yeah.
going into Lucas Oil was awesome. I did True Dungeon one night over there.
Okay. Yeah, because we didn't Super even get great. Over to True Dungeon. I heard it was anime and True Dungeon, and mm-hmm. I was like, Lucas Oil is way over there. I don't want to walk over there to look at True Dungeon that I can't play.
I'm the idiot that walked all the way over to Lucas outside.
Oh.
And then was like, holy crap, I got to go back in the underground. And and it was like 10 minutes late to my True Dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, by the way, there's a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody told me that. We just like walked over in the middle of the night and like, we're like, this is getting weird.
Yeah. I should have filled you in on that, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, True Dungeon's definitely an experience. And
it's awesome. This is my second time doing it, and I was just like, I wish I could have done both this year, but I was broke. So
yeah, well, we did one year, and it was, we don't have any gear, guys, and some friends of mine that I grew up with, and they were like, oh, we'll give you some gear so you can get along. And I'm like, okay, what's going to be the easiest thing to gear? And they're like, well, can you do any of these skills? Because True Dungeon requires skills.
Yep.
I was like, nope. And they're like, okay, so you're going to be combat. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, well, you can play a monk because they don't really need a weapon. I'm like, okay, done. So we played that first year, and my monk was okay. But we survived, and Shirley is really good at the beads for the cleric.
Yeah.
So she was the cleric, and they were really happy about that because anybody that can cast heal spells is, you know, huge in that game. So the second year, I'm like, hey, guys, we want to play again, but I want to, like, status out. The person that was running was like, okay, so what's your budget? I'm like, I don't like that question.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what's your budget? And I'm like, I don't know, like $200. Okay, I can do $200 each. Whoa, what do you mean each?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about each.
Yeah.
We ended up spending about $400, and that did include the tickets. Wow. So,
yeah, I just basically bought the ticket and went. Yeah. And I had nothing from last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but it was a really good time, and we got all the way through. I ended up being like, I was totally looking forward to being like a ranger or something this year,
mm-hmm.
and ended up being a rogue because we got there late, so that's all that was left. Yeah. But I totally cracked all of the traps in every single room.
Those traps are hard, too.
They are, and I got all of them and got the clues, and I actually solved the clues in two of the rooms,
right on,
which was awesome, and it's including the final room, so we beat the dungeon and like everybody survived.
So a couple of years ago,
he was super proud about that. If you can tell,
no, he should be. Like those rogue traps,
hard,
are
dude. People
hard.
Die, and those rogue traps are hard. People die in their chip.
It's for cereal, man.
It's for cereal.
A couple of years ago, they had this like tree stump, like big tree stump that you couldn't reach over with holes in it, and you were supposed to get the ball out with sticks. Which okay, there were two sticks. It was difficult, and for the bonus point, you had to get the smaller one out.
Yeah,
we get the big one out. They're like, oh, how are we going to get the last? We only have like 2 minutes. And I go, I reach in through the hole, grab the ball, which is a Nerf football, pull it out. And I go, I look over the room person. I go, does that count? And they went, you're supposed to get it out. I got it out.
Ding.
Well, sounds good to me. Like, okay, guys, I win. And they're like, really? Is that easy? I was like, the other ball clearly would not have come out in any of the holes because it was like a underinflated kick or overinflated kickball. So it was super like bouncy everywhere.
Yeah.
But, like, the other one was just Nerf football. I was like, does that count? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm like, all right, we're done, guys. Yay.
Was it at least, like, operation, like, don't touch the sides?
Nope. Nope. Oh, nope. Just reach right in there, grab it. That was the same year that they had somebody in a full ghillie suit.
Like, yeah.
Full one as a swamp monster hidden who jumped out at people and was like, wah, fight me.
How many times did that guy get punched?
I don't know. But that would be how Shirley lost her sunglasses. She had them on her head. He scared the crap out of her and forgot them.
I think we found those.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Which is, you know, that's great. So, but yeah, True Dungeon is very weird and unique. And
I love it. I wish I could just do that. Like, help build it and play it the whole time.
You can go help build it.
Yeah, I don't have time for that. I mean, it's really cool, and I'm sure I could help with, like, fun ideas. I'm into, like, lighting and sounds
and
stuff like that. But, like, man, I don't have time for that.
let's build one.
They can pay me
full
time to do that.
they have a warehouse over in Illinois where they seriously spend the whole year setting it up and testing it and making everything is good. Break it all down, pack it up into semis, and ship it over. Because those things are huge. We're talking, full ballrooms.
It's so great.
I helped set it up one year, and it was enormous. And they were like, okay, this is how it looks. And I'm like, how do you know, like the planning for mapping it out?
Yeah.
And they're like, this is just how it's going to be. Like, put these things here. We mapped everything out with tape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? And they weren't joking. Like, it was spot on.
Right.
Like, this is where that goes. This is where that goes. and they had like six people that were directing probably 40 of us to just put things up. And I was like, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a free t-shirt and a free Gen Con badge out of it. So
heck yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Free Did you t-shirt. Have to run it the whole time too?
Nope.
It
was 20 hours of setup.
Yeah.
I mean, so I earned the badge as far as they were concerned.
Sure.
But yeah, it was 20 hours of setup and didn't have to touch it. I had friends that all they do is run Gen Con or run True Dungeon all weekend.
Nice.
Like they're happy to do that, which I think that's cool.
It's super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And super time heavy. Like the puzzles and traps are only dangerous because it's like, okay, you have 15, go. Now, yeah. Quickly.
My group was great this year. We got we just walked through those rooms and busted it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just like, trap. Okay, here's the clue. Do that. And then we were, like, done and then, like, waiting 5 minutes to go into the next room.
Yeah.
And, like, joking with our Doral guide, you know?
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. And it's definitely it's a different kind of experience. I wish we would have gotten to do it the last couple of years, but, you know. Now my son goes with us, and True Dungeon and... Three tickets is a lot of money to put out.
Yeah,
because it's like $50 now.
Yeah, I think it was $56 this year. Yeah. Super fun though.
Back in my day, we only spent $30 on that.
You know, I was a boy.
Yeah. And you know,
back when you spent 15 minutes in a Final Fantasy round.
Well, and like you say, $56, and a lot of me is like, oh my god, $56. But it's like 2 hours of an experience you're never going to get again either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
My wife and I have gotten to the point where we're like, it's Gen Con is like a thing we budget for and it's a vacation.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
It's like, that's what we're doing that whole weekend. We take off work. We don't make any other plans. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's all about that and just gaming. And this year it was about running a booth and gaming and, you know, not so much gaming.
Yeah.
We had that 10-hour game, we worked the booth all day and then Chip closed it down for us so we could get there on time. So we had to show up
hour.
We were like there at like 9 a.m. after playing a game the night before too, and then like went till like 5:30 and then made a beeline out to our 10-hour game.
I was like,
game.
Bye guys. And they're like, meow.
We seriously played up till 4 a.m.
Oh.
Went back, crashed, and then again, Chip was a trooper and like opened up for us, so we didn't have to be there right away. But I still got there like 10:30.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, that's wow.
The marathon, but man, so fun.
Me and my wife, we just bought a house last year, and we spent like all our tax return on everything, just working on the house. So Jim's like, "Hey, we're going to Gen Con," and I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
So it was more like, "Hey, Chip, I'm paying for Gen Con."
And I was like, "I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry."
Yeah. No.
But I think it worked out well. So Jim and his wife and Neil could all go play, and me and my wife just kind of held down the fort,
earned your keep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Well. Whatever. Yeah.
It was really nice. I mean, with our booth, we had like, we had so besides Chip and myself and our respective wives, our buddy Neil, who's helping with the game a lot, he was there as well. And actually, my dad came out.
Oh, right.
So
on.
We had like this big like friends and family thing running our booth. So you know, everybody was very passionate.
Yeah, and it was nice because there were people. The ladies were outside, kind of like, hey, check it out, like, and then pulling people in. And when we went by,
yeah,
I was like, oh, it's a tent. That's that's interesting. And then I was like, okay, let's check that out. And I saw why. I'm like, you want people to be able to see the screen and understand what's going on. But there was another tent, like, not too far from you guys. It was just selling shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like...
Yeah.
Like, the techno going the whole time.
Like,
they're okay. Totally ruining our vibe, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We had, like, the little, like, you know...
Don't you have any, hookah like, lounge. Medieval techno?
We had, like, the hookah lounge sans hookahs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had, like, the bro tent down the road.
Yeah, it was a little bro-y. Their shirts were kind of cool. I'm okay with that. But, like, yeah, it was a little bro-y on the music.
Well, they wanted the shirts bouncing around.
Yeah,
they were, like,
yeah.
Sound reactive, which I get it, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I did love that they were like, look at all these basketball teams. And I'm like, wrong crowd, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong crowd.
Totally. Well, I thought that's funny. There was another one of those booths, like, three rows over doing the same exact thing. I was like, okay, where are you guys getting these from, China?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which region?
Yeah. It was a good con this year. I'm a sucker for coins, fantasy coins. So there were two, one that had been there a couple of years, and then there was a brand new one that had brand new coins, and I was... Ooh.
Where's your Scrooge McDuck silo?
I see. That's the thing. Like, I'm like, oh, it's because we hit everything in the exhibit hall, and by the time we got down there, it was late Saturday or early Sunday. And
oh,
I was
boy.
Like, I would like to buy these, but we bought a bunch of other stuff this weekend. I guess I should have waited to buy stuff. Yes. But yeah. So
Sunday is the day to buy. Like, yeah. By all means. Yeah. It's just that's also family day, so you got like
dozens you're more people
weaving
in there,
between
yeah.
4-year-olds and trying not to destroy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just like all the fat bald nerd dudes like trying to like run and buy stuff while there's like, you know, little children prepared to be trampled.
Yeah, Sunday makes navigating a lot more difficult.
It was it could have been an awesome opportunity for us because I figured out at about a half hour till close that like if I just yelled D&D you can play with your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
People were like, "Huh?" Yeah. Really? I was like, "Come on, check it out."
Yeah.
I should have been yelling that all day.
Oh man. Sunday there were so many kids that would stop their parents and be like, "No, I want to look. There's a donut on the TV."
Yeah, so we have our trap is a box being held up by a stick with a donut under it. A Homer Simpson donut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pink with the sprinkles.
And you have no idea how many
so
people that actually
we
lured
would,
in.
We also have, for our game, we're using scalable vector graphics, so you can zoom in on things forever, and it just looks amazing.
Right on.
It never gets pixelated. And so we would zoom in on the 70-inch TV to where there's nothing but donut on the screen. And then people would be like, "What's this?" And we'd zoom out, and we're like, "It's a trap!" You see the box with the stick.
That's awesome.
It worked, too. It was amazing.
And then they'd be like, "Okay, what is this?"
I like that a lot.
I'm going to sit down in this chair, and I'm going to listen to your spiel.
Yeah.
Now.
You've trapped me. This is fair. Yeah, yeah, no, it was the exhibit hall was huge. There were a lot of games, lots and lots of demos.
So much. Yeah, there was a cool booth right across from us, Mage Company. They're from Greece.
Yeah.
Which the singer in my band she's from Greece. And, I was like, "You got to come out here and check these guys out."
Yeah.
She'll talk to them all day. But those dudes were so cool. We were just joking with them the whole time and they were demoing. Their whole booth was basically like, they had three booth spots.
Yeah.
And one was just like as many games as they could pile up. And then the other two were just tables and they were demoing games all weekend.
Yeah,
it was so cool.
We got, Machina Arcana from them.
Which
is like old school HeroQuest, which if you haven't played HeroQuest, you need to play some HeroQuest. It's a board game. It's phenomenal.
I had the original HeroQuest from the 80s.
Yeah.
And like I had no clue what I was doing at that age. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. But it was awesome.
It was so good,
But it's like that mashed up with like Call of Cthulhu, and like the art in it is phenomenal.
Great artists, yeah.
It came with a book just full of art. Like, there's no rules in it, no nothing. It's just a bestiary of the monsters you're going to see.
Heck
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
It's heavy, heavy story. Like, you're like, "Okay, I go into this room. Okay, it says flip a card. Why is this card full of text? Like, could not have put another word on this card." Like, it's like they're really serious about giving
it's like
you a flavor.
2-point font.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all the flavor text.
Yeah, but it's such a good game and, like, so smooth in the way it plays, and I'm really, really happy with it. The only thing it does is it takes a little bit to set up.
Sure.
And made by a guy in Croatia who was super nice and came on the on GoFundThis.
Nice.
They've
got a Kickstarter right now that they were telling me about, too.
They Kickstart a lot of their stuff. It's usually pretty good.
Yeah, they've got, like, this one that's, like, all, like, fairy tale. Like, Red Riding Hood's a rogue, and then, like, all this stuff.
Right on.
Like Snow White's like the archer or whatever. It's like it was really cool, like the way they were going
yeah.
through.
Yeah, they
looks really neat.
They put out a lot of really good games that I've been surprised. So, like, it's another thing where a smaller publisher can do more unique and interesting things and look at things in a different way instead of just being another big box. That, like, one of our favorites is Floodgate Games. They make Legacy Gears of Time, which is this, you travel back in time and found inventions like fire and the wheel. But you do it from the front, from current backwards, and you can only go backwards before you reset.
Oh, weird.
So you have to, like, "Oh, I'm going to find the combustion engine." That's cool. You find that in this epoch, but you have to get all of the prerequisites to that to the left of it. And if you can't, it goes away. It fails.
Oh,
so
man.
It's and you're playing against other people at the same time who are all trying to do the same thing.
So the crazier you're in the thing that you want to create,
yeah.
like the harder it is.
Well, it's like the internet is one of them, but it has so many prereqs, and those have prereqs, and those have prereqs.
Right,
like,
right.
It's just all this stuff. Like, it's such a solid game.
That's awesome.
And this guy built it, made it himself. It's his own company. For a long time, he was the only guy there. It's fantastic. And then he put out last year, I forget the name of the game, but essentially it's Hoarders, like, or not Hoarders, it's Storage Wars with dragon hordes. So you're bidding on these to see what you can get out of them.
That's so great.
It's like ridiculous concept. He has a epic...
Dragon hordes are like my favorite thing in stories.
Oh yeah,
like,
see, you got to go get this.
The things you can have fun with that. Yeah. Oh my god.
He has another one called Epic Resort where you're building a resort. Like, you want to put out cool things for the resort. And like, oh, there's a tiki hut. And you should probably hire some adventurers. And you're like, what? You lost me there.
Hire,
like,
some,
well,
adventurers.
Just hire some adventurers because, you know, the monsters might attack. What?
Wait, nobody said anything about monsters.
Yeah,
what's going on now?
So they explain the game. They're like, okay, so you want to build your resort. And I'm like, okay, cool. We're building our resort. And he's like, oh, look, you got an adventurer. I'm like, why would I hire an adventurer? It's like, you might want to hire an adventurer. I'm like, well, I don't. But he has negatives. Like, he takes away from the happiness of this area. And he's like, sure, trust me, you might want to hire. Okay, fine, I'll hire one. And Shirley was like, I'm not hiring one. Why would I want to hire an adventurer? This is a resort. Like, okay, whatever. And then we flip over the next card, and it's like, there's a monster attack. And I'm like, what? And then my adventurer was like, I beat it, but I died in the process. And I'm like, thank God. And Shirley's like, I lost a whole building. And I'm like, what are you going to do? So, yeah, it was Epic Resort was a lot of fun. Nice. I like small companies when they can go and just do whatever they want. And whatever works, great.
Right.
Same company tried to put out a game called Dance King, where you vied for control of dance clubs by dancing the best. It's a card game. Put it up on Kickstarter. It didn't go anywhere, but like, it was a really, really fun game. We actually have one of his demo copies of it.
Oh, nice.
It was fantastic. But yeah, I like the smaller companies that we get a chance to see interesting new things, like Worker Placement, which is a worker placement game. You play
like Manpower?
You play a temp agency, and you're trying to get your workers into jobs. And I was like, what's this game about? And he's like, it's exactly what it sounds like. And I'm like, okay. You have gotten me on just purely naming the game what it is. I can get behind this. And it's actually a pretty smooth game. It's not bad.
Nice.
And for a smaller company, sometimes you get run into those... The mechanics snacks. Aren't always great, but
yeah,
that one's a really good one.
That's honestly one of my favorite things about Gen Con and these games and seeing all this stuff is just like, it's so cerebral hearing about the concepts of everybody and like what they've come up with. And then the hugely inventive, fun ways that they've come up to implement all these different ideas.
Yeah.
That, like, I wish I could just sit around all day and do that. And like, just think of those ideas.
And to see us go from where we've got, you know, just terrible games. I mean, Monopoly is not a bad game, and I love Risk. I mean, I grew up on Risk, but
sure.
Like, they're not good games. No. We have like 3 copies of Risk. That tells you how much I love Risk.
Right. Because you got to get the Lord of the Rings one, and then the Star Wars one, and then the...
Did you get the new Adventure Time one?
I didn't. I don't. I've never watched Adventure Time, so no. Yeah, I know. I get that same look every time.
I'm with you, though. It's on my list. I just haven't got around to it.
I watched one episode, and it was fantastic where the floor was lava. They decided the floor was lava, so they're playing that the floor is lava.
Time.
And then one of them hits the floor, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm actually... And he's on fire. And I'm like, what is going on here?
This show is so great. Neil in our project is like constantly pushing it on me, and I'm like, and he's playing it in the background on his iPad all the time, and I'm just hearing like the lemon grab screaming. And like, you know, all this random stuff. I'm like, oh, I need to watch this. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to build a game. Sorry.
I let my kids watch it, and then I go hooked on it. And I'm like, no, kids, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch Adventure Time.
Like a family.
Like
we played Adventure Time Flux, and I was just like, I don't understand even what's going on here. And he's like, just trust me. And I'm like, I know how to play Flux. That's fine. But like, none of these goals make sense. Like, I understand I need 2 cards, but I don't understand why. Adventure Time was really cool. We did get to play the Back to the Future. The Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure board game.
Ooh. Oh.
Which is essentially...
Excellent.
it's all about programming, because you have your cards and you play them.
Yeah.
And you change them every turn, and it's like you turn right and go forward one, and you then turn left and go forward one. Well, as you pick up the tokens that you need to win, they're permanent. So then it's always you go forward one, and or you turn right and go forward one. That's what you do at the beginning of every one of your turns, and you have to figure out how to get to the other ones on the board.
Oh.
So it's like, the more you pick up, the worse off you are. You're like, oh, well, I have seven of these.
I have seven
movements, and I have to figure out how to get to that one spot over there. And you're moving 2 other guys, that the 2 bad guys, a knight and a sheriff, that if they hit you, you drop one of your permanents that you need to win the game. So it's like, it was a really good game. It's one where I was like, okay, I've got to turn this card to see where I'm actually going to go. And now that I've done that one, like I've several times I'm like, oh, I forgot when I played that second card that I was already going to be somewhere else. It was a really good game.
Awesome. That's like chaos chess.
It is. It really is. Yeah, really good game. I was really, really happy with that one.
Hey, awesome. Jim, take a note of that. Chaos chess. I like that.
Chaos chess.
Yeah. Well,
chaos. What just happened?
So, you guys, Jim, do you, or Chip.
That's Chip.
That's all right.
Do you play a lot of board games now?
A little bit with my kids.
Okay.
Mostly, my son's five, so it's really simple stuff.
You're getting
stuff.
There. You'll get there. Don't worry.
I'm trying to break him into the math.
Okay, yeah. That'll there's some good games out there for that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Jim, you like a lot of board games?
I like them when I can. Okay. the last year has been
insane.
Just absolute insanity for Chip and I as far as just working on the game, so... But yeah, I love diving into ones, and I love seeing the new ones and stuff.
Right on. As
I can.
Right on.
I remember when the Firefly game came out, we got to check that one out. That was super awesome.
I'm not saying we have all. Shirley's a huge fan.
That series is amazing.
So we have everything out of that, all of the board game, all of it.
Nice.
All of the extra ships, all the extra cards, all of it. And then they were like, "Hey, look, Star Trek Ascension."
And
I was like,
they
"Really,
that
guys?
This year, and it
really?"
Was just like,
I'm like, "What's the price point?" And they're like, "A lot of money." And I was like, "Oh,
I know."
But then we're gonna have expansions, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, I know it's a lot of money, but we're also gonna have more money.
Okay, my wife is on her way over. Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Say you have a game.
Oh no, they had it everywhere, and she's like, "What is this?"
Between the Star Trek one this year and that crazy Harry Potter booth, I was just like, "I can't even look at these things right now." I'm just gonna have to keep walking.
Did I miss the Harry Potter one?
There was a huge Harry Potter set up in the exhibit hall, and they had this like standalone Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit thing and all kinds of other stuff. I was just like, I saw the Trivial Pursuit and I was like, oh, I could get that from my dad. No, I don't. No, just keep walking.
See, and when there's a lot of people at a booth, I'm just like, well, I'll move on. Like, I just don't even, I just like move on from where it's at. Like,
so you're the hipster of,
it's not even that I'm the hipster.
This is too popular. I can't like it.
No. It's more of a, there are too many people in that booth and I don't want to have to deal with them.
Yeah,
like they're in the way. And
that's Gen Con this year. Like in last year, it was just, like,
I have a personal bubble and people being in that and the exhibit hall does not lend well to me having a personal bubble.
But the smell of all those personal bubbles in that
room.
You
know, honestly,
that's a lot of bubbles.
It wasn't
gotten
bad this
better.
Year.
It has gotten better over the last couple of years.
I will say 3 years ago was exceptionally pungent.
Yeah, it was also like a super hot weekend.
Yeah.
Like ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Right.
Yeah, there were so many games that I was like, I'm going to need that. I'm actually currently grounded from buying any more X-Wing ships, and I'm not allowed to start any more miniature games.
Do you have the drone X-Wing that you can, like,
no,
RC?
No. I'm talking, like, for the X-Wing, for the Fantasy Flight X-Wing
miniature
game,
gotcha.
Which is
phenomenal.
But, like, I was told that, I was like, oh, we'll get an X-Wing, and we bought a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, oh, Star Trek has a game out. It's exactly the same concept, and, like, all the same mechanics. She's like, no, one. And I was like, two? No, one. I was like,
oh. I'm glad that you can like Star Trek and Star Wars. That I've never divided the two in my mind.
they're two different
fandoms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just
one's Wild West, one's NASA.
Like, I also like Babylon 5 and Deep Space Nine, but they're essentially the same concept. So at points, I'm like, well, I can only like this one. Like, that's fine because they're exactly the same thing. But Star Wars, one is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So not here. Mm-hmm. But it's also it's its own thing, and it's all about like spiritualism and like what that does and how that can affect things, and there's weird deep backstories and really good video games, and then Star Trek is like, and all of that built off of essentially three movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Star Trek is like, hey, we're gonna put out 675 episodes, which I know because we have a Star Trek podcast where we're watching everyone.
And I'm in the process of that right now. We're on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, such a good series.
We're actually on this on the last season of Next Gen and the second season of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
So we're simultaneously watching by air date.
Well, wait till you get to Voyager and be like, I can't wait for this hour to be over.
No, I know.
But Deep Space Nine is phenomenal. My favorite series out of the whole thing is Enterprise, but I really like I think it's because I like the concept that they had in the original series and I never watched it. So we're getting experience there. So I've never watched the original series, so I'm getting to watch
all of
those.
Are you watching that right now?
So we're going to do all season one of everything, and then season two of everything.
Oh,
mostly because I didn't want to get stuck in one show and for seven seasons and be like, all right, this is episode 7 of season 6 where I just want to gouge my eyes out. But like season one of the original series, there's been a couple that have been like, wow, that was some bad acting. That was some bad sets.
Yeah.
There's been others like Devil in the Dark was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even when like Nimoy is overacting when he's mind melding with the Horda, like it's so good. But like they built like 5 shows, so many movies, so many episodes, and then we're like, well, where else can we go with this? And then they did the online game, which is, there's some good things and bad things about it. I played it for a while.
I really liked it when it first came out for like a year.
Yeah.
And then,
well, and they've done a huge bunch of updates since it's free now.
Yeah.
I'll log in once in a while and be like, I have no idea what is going on anymore.
Right.
But
what is all
but
that?
But the ships are really cool.
Yeah.
Space battles are awesome in this game.
They are. Yeah.
Ground battles, I'll go make a sandwich. I've literally, when I was playing it, I beamed down one day and I'm like, oh, I'll wait to start the mission because you can just click start. And I went and made a sandwich and I came back and it had started on its own. And my guys were done with the mission and I was like, what happened?
You didn't even do anything.
I didn't do anything and they cleared the mission for me. Yay!
Go make a sandwich.
Yeah, but space battles are
like,
really
I'll make
good.
A celebratory sandwich now.
Yeah. The space battles are really good, and the stories were fun. Anyway, but Star Trek has this weird, like, utopia while not being a utopia. Like, it's really going to... It's this bright, shiny world, and then you slowly see, like, Deep Space Nine starts to show the underbelly and the darkness, and...
Oh, yeah.
It gets really dark in that
space
one.
Space is brutal.
Yeah. I really liked Enterprise because of the same thing. Like, they were out there on their own. There was, like... Oh, we're gonna get into a fight. We can't call anybody.
How they managed to make Voyager so darn soft? I just don't understand.
I think it's the CW, which was the WB,
the
Paramount CW WB
machine
issue, is that they soften it everything they do so much,
and
it blends the product, because there's some really good episodes in Voyager, and they're the dark ones. There's a two parter where they essentially get stuck in a time loop, and it's just like
Groundhog Day.
It's called the Year of Hell, and essentially they spend a year where these people are manipulating the time stream and making everything for Voyager terrible to try and kill them. Mm-hmm. And like half of the people are dead and Janeway has a scar on her face and like, it's just ugly. And they get to the end of it and reset it. And I'm like, why would you do that? And it was originally supposed to be the entire season.
Yeah.
And then they just shortened it to 2 episodes and then reset everything. And I'm like, why? There's nothing good about that. There's no character development. Like, why are we doing this? But
that's dumb.
Yeah.
That show could have been so much cooler.
It could have.
Like, when I first heard about it, I was really excited about it. I was like, man, they're going to, like, come back with this Frankenstein ship and, like...
Yeah. Yeah. No, they came back with... Yeah. Ugh. Anyway.
Anyway.
So,
moving on.
So, yeah, no, Star Trek and Star Wars, for me, are very different.
Yeah. I like them both for their own thing. I mean, I get hyped about anything either one of them's getting. Like the new Star Trek show coming out. I'm so pumped to have a show again.
I'm actually excited to see that.
Did you see the announcement from Modiphius about Star Trek Adventures, the role-playing game?
No.
So they were right underneath the Pikachu butt. So you should have seen them.
Dang it.
But they
I was trying to avoid looking at the Pikachu butt.
they 2 weeks before Gen Con, announced that they had signed a contract to do the Star Trek role-playing game. And
I did hear about this.
They're going to start the beta... sometime in the next year, and then have everything, the basics of everything, out by Gen Con.
Yeah.
And they did Octon Cthulhu, which is a World War II Cthulhu story.
Mm-hmm.
Super solid. We love it. Like, I backed that thing on Kickstarter hard. And it's super solid. They've done Dust Tactics, the role-playing game. They did another... Mars. Warlord of Mars. They brought all that stuff into role-playing games. They've done a bunch of, like, really good carryovers, and Star Trek is, like, their big one. And
nice.
They're going to do a bunch of beta testing and let people play with the system and get to know it, but I think it's going to be awesome. I trust Modiphius a lot. So,
awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So we're right about an hour, which is awesome. I'm really, really excited about that. I figured that we would get there.
We can talk.
Oh, yeah.
So let's tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter you guys have going on right now. You've got a couple of days left, or you've got a little over a week left, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us real briefly, what are we looking at there?
Our Kickstarter, we're trying to get the game off the ground in its basic version, mostly about trying to get it done sooner, because we're working on it either way. It's just, this will help us move things quicker. We need better art. We need to get the infrastructure laid down, but the game, tabletop role-playing, streamlined on your smartphone and TV. Anybody can play, but, you know, old school vets or new school dudes.
Yeah, we want everybody to be able to play it and have a good time.
Right on. And this is on Kickstarter. It's called Knights of Yore.
Knights of Yore.
And that's knights as in, you know, I'm a knight from a castle, and Yore, Y-O-R-E.
Knights,
dark time.
Knights
of Yore.
Oh, well, that makes more sense with the moon you have there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that's a little confusing. Okay. Well, thank you guys for coming on. You guys can find them on Kickstarter under Knights of Yore, or on Facebook and Twitter at Knights of Yore, knightsofyore.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys can always find us on, hey, I did it right.
Hey.
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter under Nerds Domain, and check out our shirts over at T Punch something. I don't know. Check it out, guys. We'll talk to you later.